Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with an unbelievably high demand coach, a very exciting guest, and that is the one, the only Roderick Lenhart. Now, Roderick presents a transformative guide to inspire individuals who are seeking to implement significant changes in their lives. In Million Dollar Flip Flop's book, and in his coaching work as well. Now, drawing from his own experiences from scientific research and the candid stories of his colleagues worldwide, Roderick introduces to us the WAVES method, which we'll dive into a little bit here a little bit later, which is a personalized system through which you can filter all your decisions. Why are you making the decisions that you are? And it serves as a beacon for hope for anyone seeking guidance, inspiration, and the reassurance that their decisions, when made from a place of raw authenticity, can lead to a life of fulfillment and happiness. And Roderick, a lot of our folks here are founders and leaders are in the business world. And so this is real stuff for them. And I know you've got some work you've done around five stages as well. So we're going to kind of weave all this together. But before we get to any of that, I'd love for you to just share a little bit of your story. Where did all of this come from and how did it lead you to where you are today?
Yeah, man, that could fill 20, 30 minutes on its own. But let me try to make it concise. And thank you for having me. This is a ton of fun. I'm a lifelong entrepreneur. I grew up, you know, a little one bath house in Michigan. We grew up with not much money. And I knew if I wanted a Nintendo or a bike or a cool pair of shoes for school, I was going to have to figure out how to hustle and get that myself. And so at a very young age, I figured out the art of sales, talking to people, doing candy drives, you know, reselling candy at school, you know, the typical golf balls at the end of the street, like to the golfers at the public course. And, you know, that's what kind of built my entrepreneurial drive. And by the time I went to University of Toledo, entrepreneurship, family, and small business program. I was the first graduate out of that program at UT, but I had already started half a dozen businesses by the time I went to college when I was 17. And fast forward all of that, I moved to Charleston, South Carolina, with my then wife. And I took the bad word of the day, which is job. I took a job with a Fortune 100 home builder at the time, and was wildly successful. I could buy anything I want, do anything I want, go anywhere I want. I was 23 years old, making more in a month than my parents made in a year. And I woke up every day hating my life, absolutely miserable. I was anxious. I was depressed. I often had suicidal thoughts. And I thought, what the F is happening? I did all the things that I was taught my whole life were going to lead to this place of fulfillment. And I don't feel that at all. What have I done wrong? Why am I wrong? What are all the bad things about me? Like, what, this isn't supposed to be happening to me. And I quit that job, which everybody thought was absolute insanity. And I found myself in a very isolated and alone place where people don't want to hear your first world problems. In fact, they want, they think they want what you have. So when you're talking about how you're sad because you're making 300 grand a year when you're 24, it doesn't compute for people, right?
Yeah.
I quit that job. I started another venture, which ended up turning into quite a large construction company. It was an eight-figure business. And I never looked back. I've been an entrepreneur again. So I had like a three-year blip where I went down the wrong path and started multiple firms since then. And about 18 months ago, I exited my real estate company in Charlotte. And I was sitting on a beach, man, in Thailand. And I looked over at my partner, Nicole, and I just said, you know, we got to give it all away. And she's like, what? And I was, like most of your audience, I'm sure, I retired for about a day and a half before I started having other ideas about what I wanted to do with my time and my life. And I always say I could have strapped on white Velcro New Balance, and you know, I build hot rods in my spare time from the ground up. That's just what I, like my what I do, you know, when I'm not doing this stuff. And I was like, it's really silly for everything I've learned to just go to waste and to just die inside of me. So that's when I started writing the book. I started writing the book on that trip, and I was just writing it for me. It was the things I wish I had along the way, right? And that it went on to, I mean, it hit number one in 7 categories on Amazon, and it turned into the podcast and into the journal. Comes out next week, depending on when you're listening to this, comes out in the middle of February. And I went to Brown, got my ICF to be a professional coach, because I'd helped other business owners for a long time who just said, man, how are you doing it? You know, because I, not only did I build these ventures, I went to 60 countries on 6 continents. I've been to 46 states. I've been to the World Series and the Super Bowl and the Daytona 500. And, you know, go on down the list. I lived a life that I wanted to live while I built these ventures. And we aren't taught to think that that's possible. You've got to grind for 100 hours a week. And then when you're 65, you get the gold watch and you go do the fun things, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to live that way. And so I built businesses that supported my lifestyle, not the other way around. And you're starting to see a little bit more of that now out in the market, where you're thinking about why you do these things. But ultimately, what I do for people, what the book does, and what my any of the programs you do with me is, it's about making conscious decisions. And it's about business life integration. I think work life balance is a scam. I think when you're wired this way, you're going to work more than the guy down the street that works a 9-to-5, but that's okay. Because when you build something you enjoy, it's not work. Hopefully all that makes sense. That was as short as I could make it.
I love that. And so just real quick on the book, and we'll dive into some of the concepts here. Who's the book written for? What questions are they asking right now? Where are they at in life where this is the right word for the right time?
Yeah, that's honestly where the 5 phases of the entrepreneur came from. And as you know, I wrote the book, and we'll talk about who those are, but I wrote the book for the anxious philosopher. You know, the book is not for a brand new entrepreneur. And it's not for somebody that thinks money is going to solve their problems. If you're listening to this and you're miserable at $10,000, you're going to be miserable at $100,000. And until we fix that, it doesn't matter how big you scale your business, you're still going to be miserable. I know a lot of real unhappy millionaires and billionaires. You know, that's who this book is for. It's for building a decision-making filter that now everything you do from this day forward turns you into the person you want to become. And you know why you're making those decisions.
Yeah, that is so true. One of the things that I found a similar way of saying the same thing is for opportunistic vision-led individuals in particular, we have a propensity to kind of put our joy and some big parts of our life on hold until X, right? Until we get to there, we think, there. And the disillusioning that we almost invariably face is, your business will get bigger, but it won't really get better, right? Especially not in these terms, and especially not without an intentional strategy for doing it. So, well, then walk us through this, folks that are listening. You know, they like this idea of stages, because we've got our life cycle stages that organizations go through. I've got a similar book, but the thing that really struck me is just how personal these stages are, just how deep they go. So walk us through, there's 5 phases, right, for entrepreneurs. Walk us through what these 5 phases are and where we tend to get stuck.
Sure. So I would invite the listener to, you know, if you're riding in your car, raise your hand and say me when this resonates with you. And I like to say you need the first 2. You want the last 2, but we get stuck in number 3, and that's anxious philosopher. And we repeat the cycle again, imposter syndrome, shiny object syndrome, all the things that come along when you start to self-sabotage your business, but don't know why. You just know you wake up every day and say, is this all there is, right? So the believer is where I call uninformed optimism. You know, they've got this thing. Everybody's going to want their thing. They just need to get eyeballs on it, and they're going to be a billionaire in 6 months on a beach, right? We've all been there as business owners, or even in new careers. Then you move to the showman. Some people actually do want this thing. You're starting to get the Western metrics of success. You've got the house, you've got the SUV. You could take a vacation, but you don't, because you're working 25 hours a day, 8 days a week. And you start to realize this is a lot harder than they made it out to be. The people in front of the Lamborghini on Instagram, they left a lot of the pieces of this equation out for me, right? Then you move into anxious philosopher. At this point, you probably have a small team. you're at least making plenty of money to where you're profitable, and you start to get to that place where I was when I was 24, where you can buy anything, you can do anything, you can go anywhere. You have all the signs of success, but you don't feel that way and you don't know why. And you don't know who to ask, because the guy at the bar or the ladies after Pilates, they don't want to hear it because they want what you have. And my goal is to get you through that phase. I like to say from late stage showman into the fourth level, which is peaceful warrior. And that's where you've done a lot of this work, like the waves method in the book. And it's a lot of, you touched on it, it's a lot of internal work. It's understanding, who do you want to be as a person? What do you want him to say about you at your funeral? He had a $10 million company. Is that really what you want to be known as? Or do you want to be known that you were kind and you were caring and you gave back to others? And, you know, what are the things you really want for your life? And then what do you want to experience? You know, for me, it was travel. I wanted to be able to go all over the world and do things, not have stuff necessarily. For some people, it might be stuff, and that's okay. But it's important that you identify what that is, and we start to make every decision moving forward. And I've got two time hacks I want to give you, like a time and a decision hack I want to give you towards the end. But making those decisions on purpose and understanding who you are, what you want, and why, and then building a life that makes that happen. And then ultimately it's business Buddha, and you can infer what level five is. You know, all the decisions are right. Everything is bliss and fruitcake and noodle salad, right? So,
one of the questions that I get asked a lot about our models, and I want to ask for you is, can you skip stage three? Is it possible to avoid it? Can you do this work early? Do you have to go through it? Or is it something that everyone has to go through at some point?
I would rephrase that. I mean, the short answer is no, but I would say it's the reason that I don't work with people who think money will solve their problem. I've yet to find a way to teach that to someone. If you think that more money will solve your, whatever your problem is, and they vary greatly, if you think more money solves that problem beyond basic needs, I don't know how to teach you that that's not true. I think you have to experience that. And then that's when you're finally willing. You know, they say when the teacher's ready, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be ready to accept these principles before they're going to work. It's not something you can just install.
Yeah. And what would you say are some of the, you know, the one or two kind of big shifts that you need to make in this anxious philosopher phase?
I would say the first one is understanding that you have control, you know, and that the decisions you're making today, like if you go through our legendary living program, that's what it is about. It's about making conscious decisions. It's about business life integration. It's about calendar control. And it's about having that peace and power of knowing that the decisions you're making right now are your life tomorrow. And the reason I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, the reason I work with entrepreneurs is because they are specifically talented and able to change their situation moving forward. They can change the company tomorrow. You know, they go talk to the CEO and the CEO is right there in his underwear. You know, it's, you can make these changes, but it's understanding that you have the power to do that. And there's a lot of things that go with that, you know, sunk cost and, you know, what if I'm wrong? And, you know, those are the things, those are the tools that we build inside of the program so that you know your next decision is right and on purpose.
Yeah. And then just kind of one more question on this space, and we'll shift gears a little bit. But what are some of the hallmarks that someone sitting there is in that anxious philosopher phase right now?
It's that sinking feeling when you wake up, when you're no longer excited about your business and you've built yourself a job, and you should still have that same passion, you know. And it's an overused word, but it's overused for a reason. You should be excited about what you get to do every day, and if you're not, change it. You know, especially as an entrepreneur, you know, career people can change too. Corporate people can change too. There is very little stopping you from changing. It's a decision you have to make. Yeah. And most people aren't afraid of change. They're afraid of making the wrong change, and they don't have the tools to know that the next step is going to be right.
Yeah. And so how do you do that? How do you know what that next step is?
So the waves method is really what distills all that. And that's in the book, in the journal. Anything you would do with me is going to involve the waves method. And that is your why, authenticity, values, exploration, and a statement of purpose. And I don't know how much time we have, but I can explain what those are.
Give us the one that most people miss.
Values sits at the middle for a very important reason, and it's why you need somebody on the outside looking in. Your values ultimately build your why. And the question I would ask is, your business probably has a mission statement, right? 100% of business, first thing you do in business school is first thing you do making a business plan. But do you have a statement of purpose? What is the point for you? Who are you trying to become? And all of these tools build that statement of purpose. But where people go wrong is you can't see the label from inside the bottle. Or I say the best eye surgeon doesn't perform his own eye surgery. Right. You're too close to your situation. And your values that build those two things, your why and your statement of purpose, are clouded by who you want to become. They're things you can't see. The example I use is people that are moms or dads. They will put family as their number one value, even though it may not be. When you drill down, you realize that having that as your number one value doesn't make you a better mom or a dad. It's who you are as a person that makes your kids better. And that's where a coach comes in, right? Or just somebody on the outside. And I always say your friends and family are the worst place for advice, because they people want you to do good, but not better than them. And that's just a basic human thing, right? From tribal days.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. So we've covered a lot of ground in a relatively short period of time here. I'm wondering if you could synthesize some of this for us. There's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it's this. What is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing, if you could boil it down, what's that one thing that you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
I think we touched on already. It's that you are in control. There's an illusion that the circumstances of your life are what are creating your life, and that is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned earlier a time and a decision hack. So I've been dying to ask. So just tell us, lift the hood for us a little bit here. Tell us what we can do. So let's go with the time hack first.
So the time hack is, would you do it tomorrow? It's that simple. And when you get asked to speak, or you get asked to be on a podcast like this, or you get asked for any kind of engagement, be on a sports league, it doesn't matter what it is. We have a tendency to think our calendar is going to be more open in 6 weeks or 6 months or next year. And it's not going to be. So if you look at your calendar tomorrow and you couldn't fit that thing in, the answer is no.
Wow.
And it frees up a ton of time. And that's ultimately, when you do the WAYS method, et cetera, you're only making decisions that fit who you want to be, right? So you end up with a lot more no's than yeses, and byproduct, you're, you know, happier. The decision-making hack is the 22-44 rule is what I call it. You know how when you look at a clock, it says 11-11, or it says 1-11, or it says 3-33, there's these synchronicities. Every time, and we build a triangle model in our method where you have this one big thing that you're focused for the next 6 weeks. And when the clock says 22 or 44, is what you're doing right now, is me being on this show with you right now, pushing me further to or further away that thing that I need to accomplish in the next 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. If not, change what you're doing.
I love that. I love it. Would you do it tomorrow? And it's one of the things that you're bringing up here that I think is a challenge of this stage. And I think you kind of introduced it in the showman phase, is that we move from going to do what we have to do to create opportunities to moving to actually have to decline opportunities. You're moving from what you have to do to survive to what you have to do to thrive. And as independent and confident as entrepreneurs are, we learn very quickly to make decisions based on what we have to do. But we can get ourselves trapped. It's that whole idea of, you know, building a job that traps you. If you don't shift whenever the environment around you shifts, if you don't start to take control and agency over what you say yes to, that's where all of those great things will start to pile up and pile up and overwhelm you. Would you agree?
100% agree. You know, and that's why I say you need the first two, you want the last two, but you get stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
But all of it starts with designing from the end in mind. You know, what do I want my life to look like? And I'm going to build a business that's going to support that. Yeah, there's going to be hustle and grit and grind in the beginning, to your point. And you have to be the believer, because other people are going to tell you your idea is stupid. All entrepreneurs go through that. You know, who would buy a phone? Who would buy a Tesla? That's a dumb idea. You know, so we'll go down that rabbit hole. But you need those things. But as long as your eye is on that final prize and you know you're building towards this ultimate reality, you won't get stuck in the middle, you know. And you can make those shifts at any point along the way. But especially for people that are maybe starting a new venture or they're thinking about a new career, like that's a great time to be doing this work.
Yeah. That's so good. Now, I want to turn it around on you a little bit then and say, what phase are you in now? And what does growth look like in that phase?
I do every bit of this because I love it. You know, when I sold the last business, I don't have to do anything. Like I said, I literally could just do, I love talking to people about their business. You know, I do these 20-minute triage calls with folks that sign up for the program to see if we're a fit. And people are like, well, you know, you do end up doing these calls and some people don't work out. I said, yeah, but I love talking to people about their business. Like for me, that's not, it's like you and me right now, you know, I love this. This is not work for me. It's just talking to buddies about entrepreneurship. So I get to do this every day. And if you know anything about us, we donate 100% of everything that we do anyway to our foundation, Send a Student Leader Abroad. So
that's awesome. That is awesome. And so what's the next stage of growth look like? What's the big vision for you and your organization?
I have two monsters. I want to impact 1 million entrepreneurs. I can't work with them individually. So the idea behind all these programs is that you can take these tools, use them for the rest of your life, but also empower other people to start thinking this way too. And on the other side of that is the foundation where I want to send 1 million kids abroad in my lifetime, which that is a $4 billion goal. So to give you some perspective, and we're partnered with EF Tours and our first kids are going to start going at the end of this year. I'm super excited about that. And it is designed for young hustlers, young entrepreneurs who might not otherwise have an opportunity to experience a trip. If you're familiar with EF, they send kids abroad, like think middle school kids that get to go to Europe, right, in summer. And we teach them the tools to earn some of that money. But ultimately, Scott, if they only earn $5, we pay the other $3,995 for them. So, and the idea is that they go have a trip they wouldn't. I was that kid. I was unable to afford that trip. They take that conversation back to a community that's probably not talking about these things. And it's the whole principle of know them, only us, you know, and it's kind of like the money thing. You can only get that when you experience it.
Yeah. That's so good. So I know as you're speaking, this is resonating with some folks. How can they find more out? Where can they get the book and how can they find more about the work that you do?
The book's all over Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I mean, anywhere you can find the book. I am super easy to find at Million Dollar Flip Flops on every channel or milliondollarflipflops.com. And you can take the quiz if you want to tell you what stage you're in. It's all free. milliondollarflipflops.com/quiz.
There you go. Head on over. I had a chance to take it earlier today. It's fantastic. It's super simple. And the results are awesome. There's videos, there's feedback. It's a fantastic experience. I can't recommend it highly enough. Well, Roderick, thank you so much for being here. Just such a privilege having you on the show. What a fun conversation. And for those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.